Several weeks ago, we read together from Colossians 1. And there we noted a chain of prepositional phrases that refer to Jesus. In him, through him, by him, for him, with him. The effort, the combined effort of that such a concatenation of phrases highlights the centrality of Jesus. We gather now for the Lord's Supper. And as we just sang, we sing and pray. We were enacting the very ideas of the song in our most recent one led by Troy. I'd like to continue this thinking by simply going to the next chapter in Colossians and seeing how Paul continues this, his persistence with prepositional phrases. Chapter 2, verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face. We fit somewhere in that line. We have not seen Paul face to face. What does he struggle for? That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love. Can't pass that over without stopping to comment. Here we are in this moment, in this place, together, knit in love. That's the point here, using that metaphor of knitting here, bringing together separate parts. But we're not knit together in some perfunctory performance, right? We are not knit together even passively. We are knit together in love. Here, now, us enacting God's intention here for us to be knit together. But he doesn't stop there. Notice the next verse, or the continuation of verse 2, there's a purpose for us being knit together in love. To reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. We're knit together so that we might know fully this one, this Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. What I'd like you to think about for a moment is our good order. It's not novelty. It's not something we made up for ourselves. It is something that we discern by looking at God's words and say, this is how God wants things done. And here, Paul rejoices at the good order of the people to whom he writes and the firmness of their faith. So what we're doing right now, pretty orderly in our distribution of trays and songs promoting what we're doing, prayers that call out to God about what we're doing, we are enacting good order. And I think we could say we're enacting the firmness of our faith in Christ when we do that. We're not doing it, at least I hope, purely performatively, purely emptily, merely ceremonially. We're doing it from the heart. Remember the language, Romans 6, maybe verse 17 or so, but you were obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were introduced. Let's keep reading. I'm in verse 6 now. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Then look at this. The metaphor of knitting is surrendered and replaced. Now you are rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Here we are, knit together in love. Here we are, rooted and built up in him so that we have good order and firm faith, and we are established in that faith. Skip down to verse 9. We see again the phrase, for in him the whole fullness. We've had all twice, and now we have whole. Fullness of deity dwells in him bodily. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. Another all, another encompassing little word. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us our trespasses, all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, and now Troy's other song, nailing it to the cross. When we, in a moment, we've already proclaimed his death in song, but we continue our obedience. We're going to proclaim his death by eating and drinking, by chewing and sipping. We're going to proclaim his death. And when we do, we'll understand. We'll be reminded of this powerful language that our sins, the debt against us, the legal demands, were nailed to the cross, put aside by his work. This then verse 15, by the way, if we look at 15, he disarmed. I don't think it's talking about Jesus there. I think it's God the Father, as Charles just prayed about from Revelation 4. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him again. We close with that prepositional phrase. It's in him that we do what we do. I want to remind you of two phrases that we've read together this morning. This one, you don't need to be reminded, we sang it. So we sing and we say and we pray and we eat and we drink, all proclaiming the death and, has been noted, celebrating his resurrection, which here, the powerful working of God which made that happen. Remember, it was God who was faithful. Jesus who was faithful. Jesus, God the Son, who is faithful. And we get to be faithful because of what they've done. I want to go back to another phrase that's in this passage that passed over rather lightly. And this is the one I want to leave you with. Because it is an ongoing challenge. Can we do this? Look back in verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. I emphasized that already. Just as you were taught. It's not an accident. It's not self-created. We were taught how to be rooted and built up and established. But something else that accompanies the teaching and the understanding and the firmness of faith and the good order. Look at this possibility for us. Abounding in thanksgiving. So in just a moment, I hope you can join me and that we together, knit together in love, can abound in thanksgiving as we think of Jesus' willingness to offer himself, his faithfulness, and his trust that God would not leave him in the tomb, but the powerful working of God would bring him forth from the tomb, becoming Lord of the universe in so doing. I hope that we can be thankful for that work. We can be thankful for the blood and thankful for the faithfulness of God. Thankful for the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us eat and drink thankfully.